Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, no matter where you are in the world. Welcome to the Gotcha Radio Show with your host, Mike Holt.
Monica, we've been discussing the sad state of our politics and the world situation in general, especially as it's being caused by Islam. But let's talk about the political situation, especially in regards to the law. You have some interesting views on that.
Look, I keep coming back to the conversation about what infringes on our representation to the government. Like, I just go, Mike, you and I, we're part of a community. We want to be heard in the government field. We put up laws that we want our lawmakers to create. And then we have this quirky thing that allows our prime ministers to go off and sign treaties with other countries that our legal system then has to somehow encompass and work with alongside the laws that are created by the government.
Well, hang on a moment. You said that allows our prime minister. Who allows him? Did you or I or the people of Australia allow him to do this?
Well, do you know what I think? Every treaty that a government, that a prime minister puts us into should be reviewed by the next ongoing prime minister that comes in, and if they don't like it, they throw it out.
I think it should be reviewed by the people and voted on in a referendum myself.
Well, I'd agree with that, but at a minimum, you know, like between, I think Keating and Hawke put us into 1,000 different treaties. It's got to the point now where Australia, we are co-signatories to something like 1,500 treaties, whereas America, as big as it is only co-signatory to 500.
Yeah.
What that means is we've got our hands tied because we did a treaty on something. What they're allowing corporations now to have had more sovereign right over the Australian people. You know, we can't do it. It's against our constitution. And I just think, you know, we need to take back our sovereignty and start again almost. I think what we're going through, all the different things that are undermining our democracy. I mean, if we look at the treaties, and for example, allowing a sovereign power outside of Australia, if, for example, the United Nations in this particular case, they're having an influence in our legislature without the Australian people wanting it. I mean, I don't believe we had we didn't have a referendum on whether we wanted to sign up to the United Nations. And I don't think they should be allowed to have that kind of influence. Facebook, being able to ban admins when the laws of the land says in Australia you can discuss things of public interest. Again, this is a foreign power, if you like, exerting its will on the democracy of Australia. And when we have courts that come in, and look, there's two parts to this. Not only are they faced with having to do all the treaties and understand what's behind it and the human rights things that we've brought ourselves into, we have this really weird system showing itself. You know, like you and I have been, because we're looking at a vertical line in our society, we've gone, oh, let's have a look at Islam in our society and how's that, you know, working out. We're noticing this system as a result of it, and we're able to watch and see all the aberrations to what should be a really tight democratic system. And for example, like, how is it possible that a person can have a cultural consideration weighed against their case and then not get the same kind of punishment as a native? Like, where does that happen? How does that happen? The law is the law. You know, you rape a woman, it's something. You know, if you hurt a child, it's something. You know, and it should be equal. And it's not cultural. If somebody comes in and they're used to beating up their women or raping their children, I don't care if it's cultural. If that's the case, we don't want them here.
Yeah.
You know, because we need to have the law stand for something.
They are so diametrically opposed to everything that we stand for, that if we allow Islam to stay here, eventually it will do to us what it's done to every other country that's infested or infected.
Well, you don't get anything else when you have an intolerant society. I mean, that's really where we're coming back from.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about judges making laws or changing the laws because of a... I'm trying to work out whether it's as a result of the treaty. Is it a result of left-wing politics? But why is not a judgment equal? Like, why does somebody from another culture get a different ruling to a native Australian?
Well, I do believe this is all part of Agenda 21 and the undermining of our cultural underpinnings because of Islam. That's the problem.
Well, Agenda 21 wants us to lose our sovereignty. I mean, the basis of Agenda 21 is that we are part of a global of the world,
yeah.
And therefore we should think of us outside of our sovereignty, and we should actually look at our position as one of the many countries in the world. But the problem with the United Nations is that only one country gets one vote. So you get enormous countries that occupy vast tracts of land with huge populations getting the same vote as somebody much smaller with not very much, not the same breadth of problems, if you know what I mean. And I just don't see that's equitable. We have a constitution that needs updating. Let's start there. In Switzerland, in Iceland, there are other, and even New Zealand, there are countries now that are, Switzerland's been doing it for a long time. They have a very switched on people that are savvy, politically savvy.
Because they have the same government.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, you know, we need to start having that same say. We've got quietly malaise by just believing in parties and going, oh, she'll be all right, they'll look after us, and it's not happening. So we now have to look at, well, what are our options? What do we need to do?
Okay, you brought up New Zealand. There is a very bad case of citizens-initiated referendums because they're not binding. And this is something that we must make sure when we do bring in CIR, that our referendums are binding on the government.
Absolutely.
So if we look at Iceland, if we look at Switzerland, they are binding. And there's a number of, I think there's about 18 states in America now have CIR, citizens-initiated referendums. Probably the most famous one is California. But California has also had a few problems with it. But, you know, at the end of the day, California now has exactly the type of government that they want. It's what the people want. And this is what CIR does. It gives the people the voice to have a say in government. And whether that's a good voice or a bad voice, I believe will even itself out in the long run. Because when people are faced with a decision that will ultimately affect their lives for a long time, or in ways that they perhaps were not aware of at the time, they will make careful decisions in the future. Now, I know that the Californians have made a couple of funny decisions. Are they happy with those decisions? Apparently so at this stage. But how long for? Before there is another referendum brought out to rectify the mistakes. And democracy is a wonderful thing because it does give us the opportunity to rectify our mistakes. And that's the power of it.
Yeah, I think that's where we need to go. You know, like, I don't have a problem with people putting up ideas and saying, well, I would like to try this, but we need to be able to make those changes. And at the moment, the only people that can do a referendum are the politicians.
Yeah.
And so we're stuck when we have petitions going to Parliament with 2 million, which is what they asked for, 2 million signatures.
1% of the population, which is actually about 120,000 people. So if you try and get 120,000 people to sign a petition, it's not easy.
I know, but there's been petitions of 2 million people.
Oh, I know that, yeah.
That's been ignored. So yeah. How is that possible?
Well, they just throw it in the bin because they are not bound by any of these. They are not bound to obey the will of the people.
Well, I think there's no way of withdrawing a politician. There's no accountability for politicians. The accountability becomes a party thing. And what we see is they're being censured only when they go against the company policy. You know, if they go against the party agenda, then they're censured. No, it's not democracy in action.
You know, this is why it's so essential at this election that we exercise our vote and vote for small parties that support citizens-initiated referendums. Now, on our website, on the right-hand side of the page, there's a column down there, and there's a under recent posts, you'll see a post there, CIR, yes, no. Have a look at that page, because that lists all the political parties. Not quite all of them yet, but we're working on that, because it will be updated. And it shows whether they support CIR or not. A couple of them have prevaricated and said, oh, I'm not sure. The latest one was Darren Hitch, and he just said, I don't want to give you a decision on that. It's not a yes or a no, because we want to concentrate on our core policies. Well, to me, that's a no, because if he doesn't support CIR, then he doesn't support democracy for the people, and his own agenda is more important than than the needs of the people.
I think it's a really hard thing for people to get their head around. I mean, the way it works in, say, for example, Iceland, is they go to the polls and there's, hey, what do you think about, do you think homosexuality should be taught in schools? Do you think we should be in the Middle East? There'll be a number of referendum questions, so that when you're going in to vote for what party you want, you're also voting on key issues that need consideration. And I like that idea, because what it does is it says to the government, well, look, you're in government, but these are what the people actually want. And it makes the government then having to deal with the issues as the people want it. I know there's been some very unpolitically correct decisions on gay marriage in one particular, I think it was Slovenia, where they asked for it to go to a referendum, and it was not that. And it's not. I'm not saying that I'm against gay marriage or anything. I'm just saying at this moment in time, this country, the people are not ready for it. And you know what? I think that's a fair call. I think people have to mature into a way of thinking.
And the problem is now we are under such attack from so many different sides, not just from Islam, but also from the socialists, from the UN and everything else. We don't have the time anymore to try and mature. We have to take action now. And if that means that we have to grow up very quickly and get CIR, even if the people are not ready for it, I can guarantee you that if we get it, within a very short space of time, people will mature enough to make it work, because if they don't, they will see that the folly of not finding out what the issues are. Australians will mature. We have the mental capacity. We have the brain. So, you know, it's just a matter of time. And sometimes, you know, people have to be pushed into a decision, whether they like it or not. You know? And then all of a sudden that decision makes a lot of sense.
I have to tell you, there's one other thing we have to consider, and we might as well talk about it, and that's the media. Unless we can get robust discussion, and this is where we started from, you know, like about being censored and closed down, a democracy can't exist. I mean, how can we possibly have a referendum about a topic that's politically insensitive, you know, politically sensitive, if the media aren't going to give both sides of it, or they start being political on one direction only? We saw it up here in Bendigo. You know, like from the day one the mosque was announced, there was no political discussion on what that would mean, what is Islam, who are the people coming in, who are the backers of the mosque. None of this.
Mm-hmm.
It was pro-mosque, and what a great thing for multiculturalism. That was the only thing that was allowed in the media. Yeah. And what happened was a rebellion. I mean, really, that's, if you want to know what happened in Bendigo, it was media-driven. And I fear the same thing's going to happen in Australia. The media has a problem in that it does not allow a discussion anymore. It doesn't bring both sides. We've got Bolt and we've got Miranda Devine and a handful of other people that are willing to stand up and do tough discussions. So the question for me has also been, again going back to the culturalists, is why is it that they are always doing a left, why is there such a left bias in the media?
Again, and I think this comes back to the universities.
That's where I go too. You know, like it all starts there, and I just don't even know how that it happened that the left wing got so ensconced in there. You know, the question we've got to ask ourselves as a nation is, do we want to be sovereign or do we want to be part of a global conglomerate? And, you know, the thing is, if we're sovereign, we've got independence, we can look after ourselves. And Australia, in the 1900s, early 1900s, we were sovereign. Before we gave away our banks, we were a very wealthy nation that were independent, and I believe we could go back that way. However, what we've got now is like we've got two groups. We've got the people who want to be sovereign, and we've got the people who want to belong to a global one world government economy. And I think this is what's underneath it all, is what's splitting our nation.
Yes.
We're losing our sovereignty, which means, you know, people here, where our voice is being second to the treaties that the prime ministers are signing us up to the agreements that that we've agreed to the party agendas, to the various so-called experts around the world, because we're also in a global expertise economy, and there again, if you know, the left has managed to get into in all the West. I think really, I don't know, I'm looking at it and going,
how did we get from there to here?
No, I know. Like, do we really want to be a sovereign country? I mean, this is a question that all Australians have to ask themselves. Do we want to be sovereign? In other words, do we want Australia for Australians? Or do we want to be part of a one world government?
Well, you see, this then brings up the question of do we want to become a republic and all that entails?
Underneath it all, Mike, you still have to answer the question. It's not about being a republic or what that looks like. It's, do you want to belong to a global one world government, or do you want Australia as an independent nation? And they're the two things that Australia's independence has been compromised. Our democracy has been compromised. Our voice has been compromised, and it's been compromised by people. Like the UN, what does it give us? I would love to know. We're paying out, what, $45 million in fees. We're having to pay out for what we've cut. The Lima Agreement has cost us internally, both in lost production, lost hours, and lost GDP, right? Tremendous cost. The Agenda 21 is having its say. And I'm just looking at, well, where's the benefit? Are we really better off for being party to this? I'm looking and going, we're saying we're a democracy, but are we already a socialist country?
We've been a socialist country for a long time, for the last 50, 40 years. Ever since Gott came in, we've been a socialist country, whether you like it or not. I mean, I've lived in socialist countries. I know what socialism looks like, and this is it.
So then should we even be bothered having this conversation?
Absolutely,
like really,
because we don't want to be a socialist country. We've always valued our freedom, but we've become a de facto socialist country. But that can be changed if the will of the people decides that it wants to change it. So what we're fighting for here is a voice for the people to decide how we want to be governed. That's what it's all about. And you know, up until now, we've been told how we want to be governed. We've been told the sort of government that we want. We've been told which candidates we can vote for, which party to vote for. And whether we vote in the left or the right, we're still getting the same bucket of fish, aren't we?
Correct. Well, okay, let's you know, we've brought up a whole lot of issues. How would CIR, Citizens Initiated Referendum, get the media start being able to deliver both sides of an argument?
I think, first of all, we'd have to change the way that the media behaves, and that would have to be through legislation. They would not be allowed to present only one side of the argument. So if they're going to present a political argument, for instance, they would have to submit articles by both sides. At the moment, we're not getting that. We're only getting one side of the argument. Very, very few journalists these days are actually presenting the for and against arguments, are they?
I think papers should have to print from both sides.
Yeah, that's like, what I'm saying, yes.
But there was a change in the way that the media went about business, where they stopped doing facts and it became 80% opinion.
Yes.
And I think that's a problem too, because that's a dumbing down of our society, because we're not given the facts to make informed judgments.
Exactly, but that's because of the people who own the media right now. We need to diversify the media. We shouldn't have it owned by just a couple of media moguls. It needs to be taken away from them. They have far too much power to influence political decisions. And we need to privatise it, put it back in the hands of the small town operator, and let the people decide whether they want to buy it or not based on the news that it presents.
And okay, let's go. Can I go back one? Because I'm not so much into the privatisation. I just suddenly went sounding very communist here. You know, the thing, the real issue that we've got is it has business got too big?
Oh, that's what it is.
Like, you know, I remember seeing that of the top 100 economies in the world, 51, and I can't remember what year it was, but it was in the last 10 years, 51 of the biggest economies in the world were corporations. And the problem with that is they're not paying tax, they're not having to use their money, their profits, to look after the welfare, the sick, the policing, and all those other systems that the society has created for a better society, and yet they're able to come in, siphon profits, and then take them offshore without actually paying into the very people that they've... case in point. We pay for booze in Australia with Australian money, correct? But they don't have... And they've got an office here, but you can't contact them. No one knows where it is. You want to take them to court, you have to go to America. And yet they do and transact business here. How is this possible?
Well, if you read their terms and conditions, it actually states in there that all legal cases must be decided in the state of Delaware where they are incorporated.
Well, I know, but if they're trading here, and this is where the internet needs to be, this is an Attorney General issue, right? If you engage citizens of a country, in our case, Australia, and you take money from those citizens of Australia, why shouldn't you be taxed? Like, why shouldn't you have to set up, gateways that, you know, like if there's a 10% sales tax on any transaction done in Australia, why shouldn't you be paying that 10% sales tax to the Australian government?
And also, why shouldn't we have sovereignty over the Australian side of the business? In other words, our legal system must have the right of law over them.
Oh, I'm with you. 100%.
I think it's time for another song. We're carrying on here a bit and tipping along there very well. But time for a good song by Fleetwood Mac with Rihanna.
Why am I?
Welcome back to Gotcha Radio with your host Mike Hall and our guest Monica Evers today. We've been talking about a lot of subjects, covered quite a lot. Monica, why don't you sum up what we've been discussing and perhaps you can round things off for us.
I think for someone who's really not been that interested in politics, the last 2 years have shown me that if you just let the status quo go, things slip in because of other people's agendas. And, you know, without being, I don't think people have been malicious. I think in general people think that they're doing the right thing by everyone. But I think these are the kind of decisions that as a nation we need to have more input to and discuss more. And that discussion is being stopped by a media that doesn't want us to stop it. It's being stopped in schools because somehow we've ended up with a political correctness that seeped into not only the media but in the schools, the university, in places that should have been arenas where new ideas and new ways of being are encouraged and flourishing. And instead, that's the discussions that we need to be having that make us a robust democracy are being quashed. And I look at it from a point of view of somebody who really wants the best for Australia, really wants the best for the next generation. And I just feel as though that the voice of the people is going to be swamped by other agendas. We've got treaties that are muffling our voices. We've got corporates that are now saying that we can't do legislation that affects them. We're having prime ministers that are able to exert their will against, and I think the climate change summit that we just had proved the fact that Turnbull signed us up to something that I think if we went to referendum, people would have said no. We've got courts that are caught up with having to do administer treaties, but also the will of judges are being put, again, above the will of the people. We've got experts that are, at the moment, in our universities, that are of one particular political leaning. And I don't think we can do that either, because our governments are leaning towards these experts without realising that there's a political agenda that comes with the expertise. We've got schools that are being inculcated by a certain way of thinking. And we've got, in general, the majority of people are still pretty uneducated about the system, which is where we started the whole conversation. You know, I don't know anything about, you know, there's a girl in the, while you were having your teeth done. We don't know enough about our system. And I think all of this has to change, and as a person watching it all, as a culturalist, I see a change in Australian culture, and I don't think it's for the better. I think we're losing our sovereignty. I think we're paying too much heed to UN, and only have to look at the mess that Europe's in to know that it's not going to work. How can you have a committee deciding on anything? The EU's breaking down, the UN is also going to have its own issues. And we've got no voice into the government because of the way the political parties are pushing people to accept their agendas instead of being a bottom-up, having people who are elected to represent the people in their electorate. I just feel as though somewhere we let go of what we need to be doing, and it's our fault because we stopped being interested. We stopped taking notice. We stopped standing up for ourselves, and we only have ourselves to blame. So, you know, my appeal would be to everybody who's not that interested in politics is to start getting interested. Start having a look. Start speaking to your local MPs. Start having your voice heard. Taking an interest in what's being decided in your name. I mean, I was shocked to find out that Victoria has passed legislation that allows girls as young as 14 to be married if they get married overseas. When, you know, this is find out this is not the culture that we want for our country. So, Mike, you know, that, where I come from, you know, good government starts with me. Good government starts with me taking an interest.
True.
You know, and good government starts with me looking around and going, this is not working, and talking about it. And good government starts with me having the courage.
Yes, it all comes back to personal responsibility.
Yes,
right. All right. So where do we go from there? I think we've pretty well explained what the problems are. How do we solve them?
Well, if you look at every one of them, I mean, I think it's really easy. Let's go. Facebook, we make that accountable to Australian law when it's in Australia. So any Australian citizen is covered by Australian law. And that, you know, if they make an agreement with Merkel, that doesn't mean anything in Australia. UN treaties, personally, I think we should get out of all of them. And all treaties should be reviewed. The Prime Minister, if he signs us up, that's fine. He can do that for the term that he's elected. But once he's not elected, then I think the next in can actually have a look at it. Judges, I think we have to, they're not a law unto themselves. They're accountable to our parliamentary system. And I think that they need to be accountable as well. I don't believe political parties actually have a... If the true representation of a person is that they're meant to be a person that represents the community they're in, they shouldn't be of a political persuasion. I think they should just take, you know, like, be a messenger. This is who I am. This is what my community thinks. This is what I represent. It shouldn't be I'm a Liberal or a Labor. I question whether there is any legitimacy to parties. And as for the universities, I would like to see that there be a mandated, you've got to change the balance up and get a broad range of views into those kinds of institutions. And, you know, the thing that we both massively agree on is that there must be a means of the people having a way to initiate a referendum. And I think citizens-initiated referendum is one of those valves for good government. If the politicians aren't able to address the issue for whatever reason, then the people need to be able to find a means to be able to do it.
So why do you think CIR has not become a reality in the past? And what are the chances of bringing it in this time?
I think reality is that the Australian people were pretty happy with the government. I think the whole Islam issue has been the thing that's undone the government. I think people have gone all of a sudden, hang on, they've looked at what Islam represents to the Australian culture, and they've said, well, we've got some set values. How do we stop this? And because of the complicitness of the three major parties, the people have been able to think about those parties. I think it's the first time I've ever felt in all the time I've ever voted that I don't have a say in Parliament. First time. I actually am quite shocked by it. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. They've looked at them and said, there's no difference. There's no one looking after my interests. They're all looking after their own interests. And I don't know when that all happened. You know, I can only look at it and say, maybe it happened and got with them, but I was too busy having a good time. I think that's the truth, you know. Mike, what do you think? You know, like, look, citizens initiated a referendum is definitely one of the things that can make a huge difference. But what do you think, apart from that? I know that you've looked at changing the electoral boundaries and the way that they're elected. What would you do with the treaties and the United Nations and things like that?
Well, yeah, that they should be immediately torn up and reviewed and renegotiated. But Australia would have to do that from a position of strength. And we don't have any strength at the moment because our people don't have any say. I think basically the stage we're at now is education. We need to educate people that they do have the power to make a difference. It's just a matter of taking that power and using And we've grown, as you say, we've grown complacent. We all drop the ball, but that ball ultimately is in our court. We have to take that ball and run with it. And the only way we're going to do that is if we all wake up and realise that we can make a difference.
So knowing that the whole citizens initiated referendum, I mean, I look at Switzerland and they've got a very good media policy. You know, not media policy, but their media is pretty matter of fact and they report it as it is. Do you know what I mean? If we're going to educate into doing something like citizens-initiated referendum, it almost has to be a grassroots thing.
Yeah.
It's got to be something that comes from the people, and it probably comes from Facebook, and it probably comes from other means outside of the media, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. As you say, our media is not up to the task. In fact, the media is responsible for the situation we're in. So we have to take different ways of bringing people to realise that they actually have the power. It's up to us.
I've spoken to people in the media and I've asked them, I said, you know, is this what you've gone to university and that to be a spokesperson for a particular point of view? And they say no, but they're having to carry certain political lines off the paper or their editors or something. You know, mm-hmm. We have to find a way of breaking it. You know, and respecting individuality and as a culture rewarding it.
Well, let's go back a few decades to the 50s, which was a very dynamic time in terms of the media, etc. It was just in its infancy, basically, after the Second World War. Do you remember what it was like then?
No, Mike, I wasn't born then.
Thank you, dear.
But, you know, if you want to take me to the 70s, I think in the 70s we were... We were disputing the establishment. I think that's probably where I would go. Mm. That was kind of a rebellious period.
Yes, and we had all of those alternative newspapers and things like that. They didn't last long. Do you know why?
No.
I think because they didn't bring any solutions to the table. You know, and this is the thing I see with the Patriot movement too, in a certain degree. It's all very well to get out on the street and protest, but at the end of the day, if we're going to achieve anything, we have to give people solutions that they can actually feel comfortable about doing themselves. As you said before, it's up to the people. We have that power.
Well, bringing solutions is, you know, to bring in a citizens-initiated referendum mantle, that's one thing. But I think people have to go even to there's something wrong. And we have that discussion of there's something wrong when we've got the media and everyone else going, shh, we can't talk about that.
Yeah.
Or Facebook going, no, I'm sorry, you can't discuss that. Mm. Do you see what I mean? Like, it comes back to that. The 80s, to me, if you said to me, Monica, you can take out one piece of legislation, what would that be? I would remove 18C.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know why? Because without robust conversation and freedom to have the conversation, you kill democracy, you kill the ability for people to see another point of view.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just think that's where we've gone wrong. This is a really simple legislation that Tony Abbott had the opportunity to repeal. But he obviously had other backroom deals that he had to administer to, and we lost the opportunity.
Yeah, and that's the problem with the current system, isn't it?
Yeah, sure
is. It's so easy to suborn because money interests and political interests override the will of the people.
That's it. I mean, I'd love that piece of legislation put to the country. You know, are we allowed to call a spade a spade? Do you know how much that would be thrown out if they tried a mouthpiece on our hot? This is part of the Australian culture. This is what we do well. We just name it and claim it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's that an attack on our whole sovereignty that came from the UN. And most people don't realise that 18C came from the UN. And I think that's wrong. You know, so... For me, you go CIR, and I say we have to go even before that, we have to go all the way back to ANC and remove that. And I'm sure there are other people that have got even better ideas on what we need to do.
All right, Monica, I'd like to thank you for coming on the show today. It's been a real pleasure. I think we discussed a lot of stuff. I think you've probably got a lot more you'd like to say. So I hope that I can convince you to come back again. And let's talk some more.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
All right. See you again.
Bye-bye.
This is the Restore Australia Radio Show with your host Mike Holt, signing off. Until next time, here's a message to Islam. You can try to deny us our freedoms and our rights. You can try to impose your idiotic ideology on us, but you never will, because we believe in freedom and we will fight you to your death. Thank you.